Father God, we thank you, we praise you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are God. Thank you that indeed no one else like you, God. Fresh Savior, I honor you, God. I adore you, I exalt you. Thank you, I worship you, God. I give you glory. I thank you, I honor you, God. I magnify your holy name. And I thank you for this morning that you've given us the chance to hear your voice, to be taught by you. I pray that you may speak to us in a language that we understand, to the praise and honor of your holy name. Thank you for my listener. Wherever they are, the Lord, you meet them at their points of need. We silence every contrary voice. We pray for peace of mind and heart and spirit to be able to hear your word and the understanding that comes by your spirit. I honor you and I adore you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Praise God, my brothers and my sisters. It's good to see you. It's good to have you back on this channel. This is Spirit and Life, and it's where we use to share God's word. And by the grace of God, we've been looking at the gifts of the Spirit. And remember, we've been looking at from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And these are the gifts of men, or rather we call them the ascension gifts, that when Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. And these gifts of men are these people that we're talking about, are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers. And some people have described them as the fivefold ministry. Well, that's mean the five, but others have described them as the fourfold ministry. So whichever way you want to classify those who classify it as a fourfold ministry, classify the pastors and the teachers together as one. But then those who do it as five, differentiate the two. So today we, by the grace of God, we'll look at the evangelists. We've looked at the apostles. We've looked at the prophets, and I'll encourage you to look into them, go back to the videos, and if you're able, and I believe it shall be a blessing to you. And I just try to touch on it, try to give you a general understanding of it, and I know that God will give you the grace to understand and to dig deeper. There's not so much I can do in 30 minutes, but I try my best. So thank you and welcome. Yes, so please feel free to share, subscribe, comment, and write any questions or prayer requests. I'll always get to them. Yeah, so today we're looking at the evangelists. And evangelism is actually the act of sharing the gospel, proclaiming the gospel to someone, and telling them about Jesus, and then also making an appeal to them to be converted. So I believe that when we declare the message of Christ to someone, when we speak the message of Christ, when we preach the message of Christ, we call it evangelism. And after we have declared the message of Christ, we issue an appeal. And I believe the most important aspect of it is an appeal for them to be saved and for them to be turned. And I think many times we preach in many ways, we preach in our lives, we show our lives that we reflect Christ. We show, the various things that we do. But one of the things that we see is that the work of evangelism involves an appeal to follow after the faith of Christ and to put their faith in Christ when they've come to a full understanding of who Jesus is and the price that he paid for their sins. And based on that, then they may be able to be made an appeal, because the Bible tells us that how can they believe unless someone preaches to them? And if someone is not sent, you know, so that those who are preached to them are people who are sent, and when those who are sent preach and the people believe, then they can be saved. So there's a process to salvation, and it involves men and women. And you see, one of the most important things that Jesus did, Jesus focused on just 12 men. And yes, he had the 72. He had other disciples, so the crowd that kept following him. But his focus, where he impacted his life, was on 12 men. And there was a reason for this, because he knew that these 12 men, once he imparts his life in them, then they will have the capacity, they will have the ability to go and speak the word and preach the word. And so evangelism is at the heart of Jesus, is at the heart of God, because the Bible tells us that there is great rejoicing in heaven, even by the angels, when even one sinner turns to the Lord. When one sinner turns to the Lord, there is great rejoicing in heaven, and heaven is always excited. And the heart of God is that all men be saved. That is one thing that we must understand. The desire of God, God's desire, is that all men be saved. I know some people who love to say that, I mean, God chooses who he saves. I mean, there are people who God has not purpose for them to be saved. But what I can assure you is that the desire of God is that all men be saved. And this we can see even from, I think, looking at our verses. We'll start today with Matthew 28. And these are the last words of Jesus before leaving the earth. We'll look at Matthew 28, and then we'll also look at the version in Mark chapter 16, because I believe it is often said that the last words of a person before they leave or before they die are the most important, and that is why these words are called the Great Commission, and every believer must be a part of it, and it is a command to everyone to be an evangelist. So what is the work of evangelism? Let's read Matthew 28 from verse 16. The Bible says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even unto the very end of the world. Amen. So you can see, this version tells us, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And there is a version that says, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and disciple all nations. So we can see, what does Jesus mean? Jesus actually, his last words, which we call the Great Commission, is to go. He told his disciples, go and make disciples, or go and teach all nations, make disciples of all nations. That means that, and one thing we must be clear about is that there's one thing to make converts, it's another to transform them to make disciples. We have to be very clear. The act of evangelism involves communicating the message of Christ, making an appeal to them, but I believe that work is not completed until, yes, we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. And then on top of that, we must teach them. And then in teaching them, we are teaching them to observe all things that Christ has commanded. So a disciple is not just one who is made a convert. Successful evangelism involves making disciples, not necessarily making converts. Making converts is the first step of evangelism, but making disciples is a completed two steps of evangelism. So it starts with preaching the word of God. Once you have been able to make a convert, then you are supposed to make them into disciples. That means you will take time to teach them, you will teach them, take time to observe them, that they shall be able to observe the things that Christ has commanded. Now, let's be clear that it is, when you're teaching them, it is a process. So every church must have a system for which they can teach and train new disciples. You can either call it the New Life Believers course, you can either call it, whichever, class 101 or believers, but everyone must go through discipleship, because these are the foundational classes that will help you to be established in the faith. And with the grace of God, one day we shall be able to take us through a foundational class, because it is important, because discipleship is a lifelong process. So let us remember discipleship. The Bible says, if anyone must come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. The disciple is one who has denied himself and takes up his cross and follows Jesus daily. So we have a responsibility to take up our cross and to follow Jesus. So the Great Commission has also been called the Great Omission. Why? Because many believers are not doing evangelism. Many believers have neglected evangelism, and they miss out on a very important commandment of Christ. And someone, I think, once said that you are either a missionary or you are a mission field. So all of us are expected to be missionaries. Let us quickly link that with Mark chapter 16. And it's also in the last commands of Jesus. And this highlights that I will not focus on the authority that Christ has given us, but I want us to, that is in the previous Matthew 28, but you can read that. But if we read from Mark chapter 16, from verse 15, it said, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Remember, we've been told to preach the gospel to all the world, to all nations. So that means every nation must be preached the message. They must be preached the message of Christ. And we're told, preach the gospel, preach the good news. You know, the good news, gospel means good news that is even too good to be true, because you're telling people that God became a man, he came and died for our sins, and by us putting our faith in him, we receive the forgiveness of sins and we become accepted into his glory. We receive eternal life. And so that is the message of the gospel. And verse 15 tells us, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So our job is to preach the gospel. And the work of the Holy Spirit is the work that does the conviction of hearts. So when you are doing evangelism, when you preach the gospel, and it is the Holy Spirit that convicts the world of sin, it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that the heart of a man is able to be converted to the knowledge of the truth. And this is what we call prevenient grace, where God's grace works in the heart of a believer to make them to understand the gospel. And when they understand the gospel, their hearts are turned. Their hearts are turned. God turns over their hearts from a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. So what we see and what we know is that it's the Holy Spirit that does the work in the hearts of men. Paul said that when he preached to the Gentiles, it is the Spirit that stirred up among the Gentiles their most holy emotions. So when you're speaking to people, it is the Holy Spirit that is working in their hearts to recognize that what they're doing, that they've been living a life of sin and they need to turn to the message of the cross. So the Bible tells us that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. So whenever we preach the gospel, it is a message of salvation, and it is also a message of condemnation. It is because the moment someone has heard the gospel and has chosen to refuse it, then they are condemned. That was not the purpose of Jesus coming. He did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. But to all those who believed him, but he came to his own, but his own rejected him. But to those who believed him, to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right. He gave them the power to become children of God. So verse 17 tells us in Mark chapter 16, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And the Bible says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following them. So what the Bible tells us is every evangelist shall be accompanied by signs and wonders. The reasons why we don't see signs and miracles in our time is because people are not evangelizing. Why? It is because the Holy Spirit bears witness to our evangelism that we are speaking the word of God. One miracle, indeed, Peter told a lame man to rise up and walk. And when they asked, is this not the lame man who used to sit at the beautiful gate? They realized he was the one. And he said, it is not by any human effort, but it is by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you rejected and whom you crucified. And when the word of God is preached and it is confirmed with signs and wonders according to the word of the Lord, then many people are able to be converted to the truth. And the Bible tells us that there are signs that shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. So you see, anytime we go out to evangelism, we are going to steal from the devil's kingdom. Remember, the Bible tells us that the world is a slave. The world is a slave to the God of this world, who has blinded the minds of unbelievers that they may not believe the truth of the gospel. They may not be able to see the truth of the gospel. So evangelism must start with prayer. For you to be an evangelist, you have a responsibility to pray for the souls, to pray for the souls. Evangelists have a heart for souls. They not only are driven, they have the fire. They have the fire and the heart for souls, in that each time they think of human beings, each time they think of men, they can imagine the struggles that men are going through, and all that they desire for them is that these men be saved. The heart of an evangelist beats for souls. But as I said, for you to be an effective evangelist, you must first pray for them. The Bible tells us that you cannot go and steal from a strong man unless you first bind him. So what does that mean? That means that we must speak, we must proclaim, we must wage warfare against the works of the devil, against the blinding forces, against the principalities, against the forces of the enemy that blind the people. You know, because we are waging a war of ideologies, we are waging a war of strongholds. So we have a responsibility to declare the truth and to understand the setups that we are in, and to declare the message of Christ. So it is very important that evangelists pray. And most importantly, it needs a heart of love. You cannot reach out to people unless you first love them. Even if you to go to a community, for you to access them, you must be with them. You must interact with them. You must show them love. And I want us to just read an example of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul explains how he became all things to all men, that he might win for the gospel. He might win some for the gospel. And I'm just quickly jump there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 18. And I will just read. It just says, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. And then verse 19, it says, for though I be free of all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. So what is Paul saying here clearly? He's telling us that he converted himself. When he went to the Jews, you remember, he purified himself. He shaved himself before going to them because he did not want to offend them. He became all things to all men such that he might win them for the gospel. When he went to those Gentiles, he acted like them. He became like them. Not that he became lawless, but because he was not longer under the law of Moses, but he was under the law of Christ. So the life of Christ does not mean that we are free from the law. We are free from the law of Moses, but we are under the law of Christ. So the Christian life is not a lawless life. Let us not be deceived that the Christian life is a lawless life. Yes, no, we are called to freedom, but we are called to the law of Christ. So there's a freedom that is under Christ, and he gives it. That's why he says, take my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and kind. The law of Christ is gentle. He carries the burden with us. He says, take my yoke, because he has already lifted it. He teaches us to be faithful. He teaches us to be conscious of what he's leading us. He opens our ears. He guides us. He walks with us. So Christ is our Redeemer. Christ is our law. Christ is the one that lives as he says, take my yoke. My yoke is light. My yoke is light. Learn from me and you shall find rest for your souls. So Paul is telling us that I might make the gospel of Christ without charge. A lot of people are charging for the gospel, but the Bible tells us that Paul said that he had the right. He had the right to receive support, but he said his boast. He wanted to boast. His reward is that he preached Christ. Now, that's a very important aspect, that line of preaching Christ. Why? What is our message? What is our message when we go and evangelize? Nowadays, if you decide to listen to the message that is preached, even during evangelism, you'll be surprised that people are being preached to turn to Jesus for prosperity. I mean, to make their lives better, to turn away to be from poverty, to turn into riches, to turn for various things. But that is not the core message of evangelism, the core message of Christ. The simple message of salvation is this. Man without God is dead. We are spiritually dead in our sins. There is no ability for man to save himself. Every human effort to save yourself, be it in your religious activities, be it in sacrifices, be it in idols, be it in human effort, be it in doing good, be it in being a humanitarian, be it in giving to the poor, every human effort to save yourself is filthy rags before God. The Bible tells us that our righteous acts are like filthy rags before God. But the message of salvation is that there is a free gift of God, that Jesus Christ came and died for our sins. So it is only God that has the ability and has already paid the price for our sins. So once we recognize that we are inadequate in our own self, we are sinful, we cannot save ourselves, no human effort can save us, and we put our faith in the saving power of the sacrifice that Jesus paid, then we shall be saved, and we receive eternal life, and we become children of God, and we receive the Spirit of God within us that makes us born again. We become spiritually alive. So the message of salvation is a message of turning away from sin and turning on to faith in Christ, bringing, recognizing our human effort that we have sinned, we are sinful men, and our message must point people at their sin and show them the light that there is forgiveness of sins in Christ. I know many people want to focus on having a glory in this life. They want to focus on having cars. They want to focus on having money. But the Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our first job is to seek ye first. The priority of the message is preaching Christ. Christ is Jesus dying for our sins, and by his death and resurrection, we are able to have eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the simplicity of the gospel. It is by grace that you have been saved. It is the gift of God. No human effort is ever and will ever be enough to save any human being. Only the message of Christ, only the salvation of Christ. And if you've never received Jesus, it is as simple as accepting his forgiveness, accepting the price that he has paid. And in 1 minute, you can just say, Lord Jesus, I believe in what you did on the cross, that your sacrifice by your death and resurrection, you paid the perfect price for my sins, and I receive you in my heart as my Lord and Savior. And when you say that prayer, then you are born again. And Jesus, by faith, comes to dwell in you. And what you are assured of is that you receive the peace of mind, the peace of heart, the peace that you are accepted of God, and that you are loved of God. So evangelism involves the process of going to find out what men are doing, to see their lives, to do everything with them, and not turning into their sin, rather, but accepting them and understanding them, but in that still giving the message and preaching the message of Christ. We have to be careful, because if we preach the message of prosperity to people as the basis of them coming to be saved, when they don't find it, then they are not able to believe. If our message of salvation is one of prosperity, how will we preach to the billionaires? But the billionaires also need Jesus, because then what they need is salvation of their souls. There is nothing that their money will never buy for them salvation. They can be living in mansions, but they do not have peace. They do not have authority over demons and devils, and they are tormented by devils and evil spirits. And this can only be conquered by the message of the cross, by preaching Christ. And this is why Timothy is cautioned by Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, if we can quickly jump there, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away from all their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. The Bible says, verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So you can see Paul cautions and is very clear to Timothy, my brother, my son, do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. So the Bible tells us that we need to do the work of an evangelist. The work of an evangelist is the work that reaches out for souls. Your heart must be burning for souls. And if you desire to speak the word to save someone, I desire to ask you to pray and ask God for the fire of the Holy Spirit. Ask God to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, when you ask for that, God shall baptize baptizing with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and he shall empower you, and you shall be able to have the boldness. Because the Bible says that do not even worry what you shall speak to men when you come before kings, because at that moment you will be taught what to say. Words will be given to you, because it will no longer be you speaking, but it shall be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. And when the Holy Spirit speaks through you amazingly, you will even wonder, where did you get the words to say this? Because the Bible says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Jesus told his disciples, you people still say that it is 3 months until harvest, but I tell you that the harvest is ready. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That means it tells us that there is a laborer for every man. There is no one who cannot be saved. You are just, you're maybe just not the right laborer for them. Let us know, even that drunkard, even that young man who is not knowing Jesus, there is a right laborer for them. Even that person who is of a different religion, there's a right laborer for them. And when that laborer comes, then they are able to be converted. So the Bible says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, and he shall send forth laborers into his harvest field. The harvest field belongs to Jesus. It is his harvest field, and he is the one who sends forth laborers. I assure you, the Bible tells us that, you know, it was when, was it Paul and Barabbas, when they went to Thessalonica in Acts 17, verse 6, and the Bible says that when the Jews found them, let's just quickly look at that, because for me, okay, there are two verses that really amaze me in evangelism. And maybe the first one is Acts chapter 8, verse 8, or even from verse 4, it speaks of Philip. The Bible says that then Philip went down to, okay, verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. When the early church was scattered by persecution, and you see, if God wants the word to be preached, wants evangelism to be preached, he can scatter people for that. So if we are not sensitive, if we are not careful, if we are not ready, then the Lord will make us. But let us not wait to be pushed into it. But if we are willingly available to be preached the gospel, to do the work of an evangelist, then Christ is able to be glorified. Acts chapter 8 verse 4 says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached who? Christ. Remember, our message is Christ. He preached Christ unto them. Verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Remember, Philip was just an usher. He was just someone who was called to wait on tables. He was a deacon called to wait on tables, serving people food, serving widows food. But you see, the Bible says that when he went to Samaria, he preached the word. And what happens when he preached the word? God accompanied his message with signs, miracles, and wonders. What God is waiting for you is to preach the word. And the Bible says, and with one accord, people gave heed to the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. See, this was a man who just started with wisdom. He was a man full of wisdom. Remember, when they're appointing the 7 deacons, they just chose men full of wisdom. But what happened? Where did the miracles come? The miracles came in evangelism. You're looking for signs, miracles, and wonders? Start evangelizing. And hearing and seeing the miracles which is did. Verse 7, for unclean spirits with loud voice came out of the many that were possessed with them, and many that were taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. So all paralyzed people, lame people were healed. Evil spirits were cast out. Why? Because when we preach the message, we overcome the power of the devil. And verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. Hallelujah. When we preach the message of Christ, there is great joy. And quickly, just the last verse that I want us to look at is Acts 17, verse 6. And this is a message that this is a testimony. Can you imagine? This is a testimony. and of the Jews. And the Bible says, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, and they said, crying, these that have turned the world upside down have come here also. Hallelujah. I tell you, when you preach the word of God, you will turn the city upside down. Upside down. You can go into a city, and by the word of Christ, by preaching Christ, you will turn that city to Jesus Christ. When we preach Christ, we turn the message, we turn the city upside down. We bring great joy in the city. And remember, any city that we go to and we preach Christ, definitely there's going to be opposition. You can see Paul was opposed by the Jews. He was opposed. They tortured him everywhere he went. When he in Philip, when he went, he met Simon the sorcerer. But anytime the gospel goes anywhere, what happens is that the powers of devil are overcome. They're defeated. So you have the authority, you have the power, you have the backing, you have the grace, you have the words, you have the Spirit of God. Go and do the work of an evangelist. And just to finally add, the office of the evangelist, all of us are called to evangelist, but the office of the evangelist are those who rally us together. They're those who God has given the special grace. Think of Reinhard Bonnke. Think of Billy Graham. These are people who God has given the grace, and God gave the grace. And even today, we have many apostles, Daniel Colander, who has God has given, evangelist Doug Heward Mills, God has given the anointing, God has given the grace, and their heart just beats for the gospel. Their heart just beats for souls. And in the simplicity, 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Yeah, I went to 3. I went to 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible tells us, sorry, let's just read that. Yes, the Bible says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and trembling. What does that say? Every time, always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you, why do you believe? Why do you have hope in this life? Why are you so happy when things are and don't seem like you should be happy? When you're so much work, when you're so much stressed, when you have so many things happening, why are you just joyful? The Bible tells us, always have a reason, always be ready. That is the work of evangelism. But the Bible says, do so with humility. In humility, tell them it is because of Christ. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and let us pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the blessing that you've called us to do the work of an evangelist. You're calling forth evangelists, and I pray for the fire of evangelism to burn in our hearts, that Lord, we shall reach out for the souls, that we shall always be available to speak a word of wisdom, to speak a word of the message of Christ, and in wisdom be innocent as doves, and to be as wise as serpents, to know that we are walking in dangerous grounds and in difficult areas, but we know that you have already overcome the world, and you shall keep us safe, you shall protect us, you shall watch over us, and you shall sustain us in all things, even as we partake of the day that, Lord, your presence and your hand shall be with us. We pray for those who need healing, for those who need answers, that, Lord, may you seek them, may you make a way for them, and indeed in everything, is you is in yes and amen. I pray all this, trusting and believing in Jesus' mighty name. I pray and believe. Amen. Receive your blessing, receive your answers, and shalom. Let's meet again. Bye. Amen. Hallelujah.